Day 23 now. The schedule says I'm talking about geometric series today. We already talked about that somewhat, so we'll talk about it a little more, and we'll talk more about the integral test. Now, there are sort of three fundamental facts about series as I see them, and sort of three key classification results here. And we have one of them, which is if you have something like this, you get a finite number. If P is bigger than 1, you get infinity. If P is less than or equal to 1, where you're summing over pth powers of reciprocals of natural numbers. And this is just because of the integral test, which we talked about last time. You can imagine this as being a bunch of bars of width 1, and their heights are these numbers 1 over n to the p, and you compare them to the area under the 1 over x to the p curve. Right? It's like that equals sign then doesn't look right. I guess you use the word is. Of width 1 and variable heights to the area under a curve. Shifting the curve to the left or to the right, you either get the curve under the bars or over the bars. With the usual hypotheses that the function is positive, decreasing, and continuous. Usual in the sense of same thing I say every time I talk about the integral test. Of course, the picture only makes sense if the function you're graphing is continuous above the x-axis, right, positive, and it's decreasing as we go to the right. In that situation, the series and the integral are the same qualitatively. They either both converge or both diverge. So we talked about that. So this is not the only way you can use the integral test. I mean, there are other results that you can prove using the integral test, but this is the most important result that you get from the integral test. Now, then the other important one is that if you're adding up a bunch of powers of a fixed number r, right, this is a geometric series, and start at say power a, then you get if your base r is smaller than 1. And this we showed directly. By looking at the definition of an infinite series, where you're taking this limit. And the key is that if you have a number smaller than 1, you raise it to a big positive power, and you get a small number.
This is the example we had on Thursday, right? The one in the middle.
The 0.99 to the s hasn't been erased it over there.
It was the one similar to the sinus paradox, right?
It's
the same, right?
Yeah.
It's all the same. It's any number raised to the n power. Right?
A number smaller than 1.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Now there's, of course, divergent geometric series, right? If you make an upper limit b and you take the limit towards infinity, you don't get some number. Right? You might get positive infinity, you might get oscillation if you just do powers where the r is 1 or bigger. Right? Whether it's positive or negative, if it's 1 or bigger, it doesn't converge. And that's a special case of the divergence test, or the nth term test. The point is that this formula would work fine. The problem is when you take that limit b to infinity there, right? If your base is not smaller than 1 in magnitude, then that limit does not exist. Right? And in general, if the nth term, if you have any kind of series and the nth term does not go to 0, then the sum divergence.
And that's for any series or
any,
just in geometric?
Any series.
Okay. Yeah. So the third rule is just for any series, right?
Well, you can think of this as a special case of something more general, that if you add up some numbers, if you keep adding stuff, eventually the stuff you're adding on should be really small, otherwise the sum won't stabilize, right?
Okay.
If there's always going to be another time where you add a number as big as 5, then your sum will never stabilize. There'll always be another jitter where it goes 5 up or 5 down in your future. So for the sum to stabilize, to converge to some finite number, then eventually you need to be adding only really, really small numbers. Of course, the converse is false. I mean, you can have something where it diverges even though the individual terms went to 0. So the other way around is, so some people will make the mistake of, they'll say, oh, well, my terms go to 0. But that doesn't imply that your sum converges.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to.
Yeah. And we can see that with the integral test. If you do 1 over n, 1 over the square root of n, we looked at the corresponding integral, right? It diverges. So if the sum converges, then your terms are going to 0, and they're actually going to 0 in a fast in a certain sense. You know? If they don't, if they go to zero but not fast enough, your series could still diverge. It's like 1 over n squared goes to zero faster than 1 over n. So one of them adds up to finite, one of them adds up to infinity. And a lot of stuff with series then is going to boil down to comparing one way or another to one of these fundamental series. Show you how we can compare to one of these fundamental series. All right. So consider the following. I'm going to have 1 over 1 to the 1 plus 1 over 2 to the 2 plus 1 over 3 to the 3 plus 1 over 4 to the 4. And what happens if I do that forever? Will it converge?
Yes.
Yeah, it will. And we can tell because...
That will approach zero.
Well, no, that's not enough. Right?
The bottom keeps getting smaller. So.
Remember, if I wrote this, if I didn't have the powers, right?
Yeah.
That one diverges.
Both of them are right.
Both the bottom keeps getting faster on the top one, right?
Oh, yeah, that's like the 1 over x case, right?
When yep. Yeah. This one. Yeah, and we can understand why, because we can compare it to something else that converges.
Except, yeah.
What if you just round all the? You have these powers here, right? You have a base and exponent. What if we rounded all the bases down to 2? Since they're in the denominator, rounding denominators down round the fraction up. So you could write it as 1 over 1 plus 1 over 2 to the 2. And then here, make that 2 to the 3. So once I get to this term, I just start rounding all the bases down to 2. Right? So this would be one way to round it down. Right? And this one, you know, talking about the one there. We can. This is just the geometric series.
Yeah.
Starting at say power n equals 1, right? Of a half.
Of a half. Yeah.
So we get 1/2 to the 1 over 1 minus a half, which is a half over a half, which is 1. Okay. So this whole thing here is equal to 1. Plus 1, 2. Okay? So I know it converges, and in fact, my comparison to the geometric series actually tells me that it converges to something smaller than 2. And I could go even further. Maybe I would like to get a more accurate estimate, right? Yeah. Right now, basically, I've got this very crude estimate. Well, okay, 1, it's definitely bigger than 1. And it's smaller than 2, I could add up a bunch of terms, and maybe I add up the first 4 terms, and I compute that, right? And then I'd say, okay, well, it's at least that big, and it's smaller than 2. But it'd be nice to have some kind of guarantee to know that I was actually really close. And we could actually do that. If we're willing to do a little bit more numerical computation. Okay, so we have this series here. Right? This is what we're looking at, right? What if I compute the first, say, 8 terms? Okay? And then there's the other nine, or sorry, term nine through infinity that I have to deal with, right? And instead of rounding all those bases down to two, and hence rounding the fractions up, starting at here, what if we wait until we already get to when n is 9, and only then do we round the bases down?
Is that an 8, or that's like another form of infinity?
It's an 8.
Okay.
Right?
So this is just like what I did where I rounded the bases down to 2 and hence rounded the fractions up, except now I'm not going to do any rounding until I get to base 9, and then I'm going to round all the bases down to 9, right?
Why are you rounding the base?
Because I can compute the geometric series exactly if I make the bases constant, right?
So
I can get an exact formula that is a promise that I will not get anything bigger than that, right? I don't know how big this is, but I'll be able to say that it's no bigger than this.
Right.
So here I have 1 over 9 to the 9 plus 1 over 10 to the 10, da da da. Now I've rounded that up by rounding all the bases down. Okay. So this is a geometric series, right? Because that's powers of a ninth, right? So this is actually going to... So our little upper estimate here, where we've rounded things up, this will be its powers of a ninth starting at power 9. So using our geometric series formula, it'll be this. If you like, maybe I should, here, I'll put in parentheses so I can... Okay, so let's see, this is actually going to be really small, right? So we have... We're going to compute the first 8 terms, exactly, by hand, by calculator, preferably by calculator. Then we have this thing. Okay, so what are we going to have? We're going to have 9 ninths minus 1 ninth. That's 8 ninths, and then 1 over 9 to the 9. This is going to be pretty small, right? Let's make a little side problem here. 1 over 9 to the 9th. 8 over 9. Okay, so we can... multiply everything through by, say, 9 to the 9, and you just get this. Multiply top and bottom by 9 to the 9, and so you get 1 over 8 times 9 to the 8th after one of the powers gets canceled. That's going to be pretty simple. So if we can compute these 8 terms and add them together, right, this will be a very good estimate. It'll be an underestimate of the whole infinite series. But however much is left over will be pretty small. We'll have a guarantee that it's smaller than this.
So the further we can go with the calculations, let's say instead of going to 80, we are able to go, up to 20, it'll be a better estimate?
Yeah. This series actually converges really fast because, think about the remainder you would have if you'd done this with 20, right?
Yes.
You would have had 19 times 20 to the 19 down there. It would be very tiny. So you'd have, more than 20 decimal places of accuracy if you'd gone out that far. So the geometric series is actually very useful if you can round something up to a geometric series, because now you have a nice exact formula. And we can do a similar thing with an integral test. Show that in a minute. But let's do the numbers here. So we have so my calculator is telling me that 1.29 something, 1.29125994438. It doesn't know any more beyond that. Okay. Even that last decimal place could be wrong. But this is my calculator's best guess. Could be tiny rounding errors. Now let's see about this. Times 10⁻⁹. Okay, so. Okay, so this gives us a very concrete, explicit information about this series. On the one hand, you could get an underestimate by just adding up the first 8 terms. On the other hand, we have a little overestimate by rounding the rest up to a geometric series. Okay, so if we add it up. And that's our underestimate. Add the overestimate, right? Let's see here. Plus 1.29. Just about all the digits are going to be the same until there. See? Yeah, was there a question?
So at the end of the day, we're not going to get the actual value of what we had at the beginning, just an underestimate of that, or?
Well, if you want the infinitely long decimal expansion, then nobody knows what it is. Just like nobody knows all the infinitely many decimals
of
pi.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can get as much as we want, right? So, we put this together and we conclude that whatever the actual limit of adding up all those things is, we have our approximation, right? 1.91285993. I never 100% trust the last digit because of rounding errors, but. But this is definitely an underestimate. So the whole series that goes on forever is going to add up to something more than just the first 8 terms, and less than our upper estimate that we got by rounding the tail, so to speak, from 9 to infinity up to a geometric series. 1.2.
So our real answer should be right in the middle of those two.
Well, it's probably not exactly in the middle. My guess is it's probably a lot closer to the upper estimate, because if you think about it, even 1/9 to the 10th, right, is a lot smaller than 1/9 to the 9. So most of this is already in the 1/9 to the 9. So the upper estimate is probably actually a lot closer to the truth, because here you're missing that whole 1/9 to the 9, but it's going to be in your final answer. I mean, it would be in the exact answer. It would include that. So I would say the upper estimate is actually a lot closer. So if you wanted me to guess, is the next digit going to be, is it supposed to be a 4 or a 5 or a 6 or a 7? I'm going to bet on 7. Okay, and if you want to do this out to 20 instead of 8, like was suggested earlier, you can resolve it, right? Well, you'll need to have a calculator or computer that can do enough decimal place precision to actually tell you, you know, if you want a decimal number, what is that sum, right?
Well, just, I guess the difference there, it's already pretty, pretty small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you can compare to a convergent geometric series, you can often get some really fast convergence like this. I mean, there are kind of boundary cases where, like, you know, if you have 0.999 to the n, you know, that takes a long time to converge. But with this one, converge really fast. That's a happy case, so to speak. Now, when you're comparing to these integrals, right, those generally converge slower than geometric series. Because you're basically looking at something about polynomial growth versus exponential growth. Right? And you take reciprocals, so you can think of it as inverse polynomial decay versus exponential decay. In the limit, exponential decay is always faster. We have something like something simpler. So the whole series here, again, we're starting at n equals 1, and we're looking at 1 over n squared plus n cubed, adding all up. And again, in this example, it's going to converge, and we can get estimates, but they won't be as precise, because although it converges much more slowly. I can show you. Okay, so we break it up into some cutoff, right? Just like, we cut it off at 8 there. Well, that's good. I'm not sure what we're going to cut it off yet. We can try different cutoffs and see what we get. So this thing, we compute exactly, right? We just compute it. This one, and we get an upper estimate. Now, one trick actually we can do with the with the integral test, we can actually get an upper estimate and a lower estimate. Picture. So think of it as, you know, we have this function f of x is 1 over x squared plus x cubed. So we start out here at m, there's n plus 1, n plus 2, n plus 3. Okay. So I'm going to make a bar of height, I don't claim this is to scale or anything, of course. Conceptual diagram. Right? So this is a bar of height f of m plus 1. Now the graph of this thing, right? Remember when x squared and adding that to x cubed, you know, you input a bigger x squared and x cubed get bigger. Right, so when you take the reciprocal, that means bigger x will give you a smaller fraction here. So as x increases, the function value decreases. So this is a decreasing function, decreasing, it's continuous, and it's positive.
That's what we're assuming, right?
We're not assuming it, but it meets it. The assumptions for the integral test that you need are these three things.
Yes. Increasing, continuous, and...
Yeah. So, because you need that... So imagine making these bars around. Now, if we draw just the graph, y equals f of x, right here you'll have m plus 1. And I had the bars go to the left because this will get me my overestimate. Up here, right, that's f of m. Because the function is decreasing, and the way I chose to draw the bars is I get the height at the right endpoint, I'm getting an underestimate. Just like if you used a right endpoint rule in numerical integration and your function was decreasing, you would get an underestimate. So this is f of m plus 1, f of m plus 2, f of m plus 3. On the other hand, I could have drawn I could have shifted the graph over, right? I could have made another graph that looked like this. Just this. Right, I could have drawn another graph. And then this height would be f of m plus 1. And then this would be f of m plus 2, right? M plus 3. And so you get two estimates here, right? On the one hand, you do that integral from m to infinity. So in this case, it would be that integral. That is going to be smaller than our sum, starting at m plus 1 to infinity. But if we'd done the blue, right, where we shifted things over so that we're a bit, then that's the same as just shifting your inputs, right? So if we had just, I got the arrows wrong. That area is bigger. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. That's the area under the top curve, bigger than the bars. Okay, this one, I'm supposed to write it in blue, because it's the blue curve, right? The area under the blue curve.
Okay.
Now, if you can get exact formulas for those integrals, then you can have upper and lower bounds for this remainder. You can add them to your estimate here, and you can then have upper and lower estimates. Should be able to get those upper and lower bounds using... if you could get the integrals exactly, I think you could do that with some partial fractions. We haven't done partial fractions yet. What I propose is let's just get a cruder estimate by just rounding the integrals up and down to make things even simpler. Right? So like take this one. If we wanted to make this thing even smaller, we would have to round up the denominator.
That looks like one of the ones we have.
So, assuming that we're talking about numbers at least one, right? So, x cubed would be bigger than x squared. And likewise over here, I could. An easy way to round this thing. Down, or sorry, rounding this up, so hence I have to round the denominator down, because you have to just make it 2x squared is there. Okay. Now, this integral I can do exactly, because it's just a power rule. Right. Because what do you have in here? You really have 2 times x to the minus 3 dx. So you hit it with a power rule. So we're talking about 2 times, okay, the power rule says add 1 to the exponent, so now it's negative 2. We divide by negative 2. We evaluate this at n plus 1. We evaluate it as some big number and take the limit to infinity. But as x goes to infinity, x to the minus 2 goes to 0. So all that really matters is this, what happens at n plus 1. So after you deal with all the minus signs, you do get a positive number. Here, it's the same thing, except instead of a minus 3 power, it's minus 2 power. And the lower limit is n instead of n plus 1. So so if we do this computation through, we get looks like 2, well, as x goes to infinity, x to the minus 1 will go to 0, right? This is ultimately how we know the integral actually converges, because we get a finite upper estimate for all of that. So in the limit, this will go to 0. But we have to plug in our cutoff number m here, so looks like it'll be 2 over m.
So the difference between going through this one and the other one was that they actually put a value.
Yeah, so far I haven't given you any actual numbers yet, right? Since you'd already seen an example of a particular number, I thought I'd show you the general method. And now we can plug in any number m we want over there and see what it tells us.
And the bigger the number, the more precise.
Yeah.
Thank you. That one's okay. Questions about that? You know, there's a lot of moving parts to what I did over there. So. Well, let's try a number again. How about I can have my calculator. My calculator can do a sigma notation computation. But, so it's no problem for me to tell my calculator to do the first 100 terms of that. Right. So if I wanted to. Be a ton of work to do by hand. Or if I had to manually enter in, you know, 1 over 1 plus 1 squared plus 1 cubed, 1 over 2 squared plus 2 cubed, and so on. Ooh, all that to 100. I don't know. Okay. So let's see. But it's a lot more work than what we did with just 8 terms, and it's not even going to be nearly as much accuracy. Okay. So we're going to have this thing, which we're actually, this is a lot of computation. Right? And then we have our lower estimate over there, which is 1 over m plus 1 squared. So 101 squared is smaller than this convergent infinite series. And then our upper estimate, we'd have to compute. We just reuse whatever computation we got there. At least we don't have to do it twice. And then we'll have 2 over 100. Okay. So the difference between this, which is about 1 over... This is, roughly 10 to the minus 4. Right? And this is, 0.05. Right, so you can see there's a big gap, right? A gap of about a 0.499, right? So even if you do a lot of work with this one, we don't have a very good estimate. The problem is when we did these simplifications. Rounding this integral down, rounding this integral up, that the x squared versus the x cubed, x squared is very different from x cubed when x is large, and so that's why we're getting such a big gap. So if we want to get more precise information about this thing. We'd have to find some more sophisticated estimates, or we're going to have to go way beyond the first 100 terms if we keep using this kind of crude methodology. Right. This is at least simple and easy to understand, but it's not very efficient. So. Either find a way to do the integral of 1 over x squared plus x cubed exactly, which you can do with some partial fractions. That can make things better. And that would probably be the first step to making this more efficient. Let's see what my calculator says. Oh, that's the dead marker. This one. Anyways, 0.64488. Same thing over here. It's not really worth me writing more decimal figures after that because we're really not sure what's going to happen, right? Without some more thought, is it going to be this plus something, like that? Or this plus something more like that. My thinking is that when n is large, like 100 or even, 100 cubed is a million, 100 squared is only 10,000. So I'm thinking that this lower estimate is closer to the truth than this upper estimate. But we'd have to make that more precise if we wanted some actual proof, that, okay, I'm telling you 100%, the such and such are the decimal places, And right now we've only got a proof that tells us, really well. It's definitely a 6, but I would bet that it's probably 4-4 there. But I certainly don't have a proof on the board of that. I'm not sure about the 8-8 here. So look into that.
So what would be the best estimate? Increasing the number of n, or just trying to compare it to maybe something else?
I think that it's right here. Rounding down an x cubed to an x squared. That's a huge loss. Round it down to... Find a better way to handle that.
It's kind of...
Make it... but you're rounding down the fraction, so the f... Somehow you should... I gotta put this right here. For x large, x squared plus x cubed should be really close to x cubed in a relative sense. The ratio between them should be close to 1. So you should be able to say something like round this down to... You want to round it... Round it down to even half of x cubed. Like if I'd round this down to say half of x cubed instead of rounding it down to 2x squared, that would already make things a lot better.
Okay.
So it's right here that choice gave me a wide gap. I could prove a narrower gap if I am a little more clever about how I round. Rounding this down to like x cubed over 2 would make things a lot better. Yeah. For m large enough, that would be a valid thing. Let's look, we're getting over time here. So let me... of course, this homework is not due... We're getting to quitting time, so why don't I just say I'll add it to the board photos, okay? So you don't have to stay a long time. You don't have to wait for me to write on the board. Now, as for these homeworks, these are due tomorrow. I wanted to make one remark because I saw more than one person making this mistake. I assigned a problem involving an integral with this in it. Okay? These are not the same. Don't do that. Right?
Okay. I did the other one.
You weren't the only one that made that mistake. I realize it might be a common misunderstanding on that one.
I mean, it's still doable, right? That integral?
That one's trickier, but doable. But it's not the right integral to do. It's not the one I assigned. I don't want you to lose points because of a silly mistake like that.
Are you going to write the homework, or just going to upload everything?
Let me just upload it.
Okay.
Yeah. That way everyone can go. I'll just write on paper. It'll be the board. This one's not due tomorrow, right? So you'll live if you have to wait a few hours to see it.